10. Vern stretched and yawned.
Well, let's go get the dresser. Where is it?
Barbara leaned back on the bed, against the wall behind her.
Easy. Not so fast, on a day like this.
I feel active again. Heat is strange that way. First you feel dopey. You don't want to do anything at all. Then all of a sudden you spring right up out of your chair. This is the moment for me. I've sprung up.
Barbara got slowly to her feet. All right. I think we'll find a dresser in one of the other rooms.
They'll probably be locked. But the room next to Barbara's was not locked, and there was a little white dresser just like hers right next to the bed. Each of them took an end of it, and in a moment they had lugged it into Barbara's room and set it by the other.
That's that, Vern said.
Do the clothes go in any old way, or is there some ritual about it?
Maybe I should put the clothes away, then I'll know where things are.
All right. Barbara opened the top drawer of the dresser.
Damn,
she said. The drawer had razor blades and some adhesive tape and pieces of string and nails lying about on the dirty newspaper that had been used to line it. Vern looked in the other drawers. They were all the same way.
I'll have to repaper it and clean it out. Maybe even scrub it, Christ.
She went over and threw herself down on the bed. The bed sagged and groaned under her. Not a very strong bed, Vern said. Not much good for entertainment, is it?
Strictly a chase bed.
Well, there's always the floor.
Not unless it's swept.
Vern studied her intently.
Was she kidding him? Going along with the gag? Or something more?
He tried to read her expression, but it was hopeless. A losing game trying to read a woman's face. Finally, he shrugged. He reached into his pocket and got out his pipe and tobacco. Barbara watched him filling the pipe without speaking. Her eyes were wide. Vern glanced up as he was clicking his lighter.
My pipe. Won't go until I light it. I know. I remember your pipe. I remember it very well. You had it that time at Castle.
At Castle?
Yes.
Vern sat down gingerly on the bed beside her. She said nothing. He went on sucking at his pipe, trying to get it lit.
Goddamn hard thing to operate, he said between his teeth.
At last the tobacco caught.
I don't see why you smoke when it's so hot.
This isn't for warmth. This is for comfort. It relaxes me.
Probably makes you feel more like a man.
He shot her a sharp glance. Why do you say a thing like that?
I don't know. Tobacco, pipes, cigarettes. All make me think of high school kids trying to grow up.
You smoke too, these days?
Not a pipe.
No. Vern was silent, smoking and thinking to himself.
Well, it might be. Freud again. What might be?
Let it go if you've forgotten.
Vern leaned back, trying to make himself comfortable on the bed.
He kicked his shoes off. The shoes fell to the floor with a loud crash.
What's that for?
Barbara said. To make myself comfortable.
Are you going to stay?
Vern glanced at her. That, he said, depends on you. Barbara reached over and picked up his shoes. She set them in his lap.
Put them back on.
Really? But I'm more comfortable.
I'm not.
There was silence. Vern watched her with mixed amusement and embarrassment. Barbara's face was dark and sullen. Finally, she relaxed.
All right, it doesn't matter.
She tossed the shoes back on the floor.
Let him lie there, then.
I don't think I know quite how to take this, Vern said, still smiling at her. But his hand, gripping the pipe, was tense and pressed tightly to the wooden bowl. Barbara did not say anything. She was looking indifferently off through the open door into the hall. Vern continued to examine her face intently, watching her with an almost eager interest. He blew smoke slowly into the center of the room. Want me to close the door to the hall? Barbara turned.
What?
Want me to close the door? Is that what you were staring out there for?
My God, no. I was just thinking.
About what?
Lots of things, as one does. I was thinking about Carl, for instance. I was wondering what sort of boy he is.
Seems nice, Vern said noncommittally. Certainly big enough. Why?
I don't know. Last night I started down the hall to take a bath, and there he was, standing outside the door, in the middle of the hall, not making any kind of a sound, just standing. It scared the hell out of me, as if he was some kind of a ghost, a specter, a great silent figure, watching me with that strange look he has, that look of detached contemplation, as if I was some sort of natural wonder, like a waterfall or an insect.
The whole world is one vast insect for Carl. I think that about sums him up.
Does it? We're going to have to spend a whole week with him. I'd like to know, but he does seem to be all right.
We could always push him into one of the septic tanks. Barbara laughed.
Anyhow, he'll be busy exploring with his compass and map. He won't bother us much. And I think he's nice, Vern. I see nothing wrong with him. He leaps around and shouts a lot, but that's natural for his age. Don't you like him?
He's your subject. You brought him up. I have nothing to say.
You know, it's an odd thing. I don't suppose I'm more than 3 years or so older than he is. But I feel like I'm not in his generation at all. Why? It's not the age, I guess. The actual years. It's more the attitude.
When we were coming down, he was skipping and jumping and dancing around, all ready to pull off his clothes and run naked over the hills. Then he smelled breakfast. You never felt that way?
No, it's too hot.
Vern would have been glad to drop the subject. His pipe had gone out. The tobacco had been used up. He knocked it against the wall and emptied the ashes into the ashtray on the table.
That's not actually so, Barbara went on. On the way down, I was almost ready to go with him for a moment. Run and dance, leap and roll. And early this morning when the sun came up, when I woke up.
She stopped.
Go on, Vern murmured. No. Anyhow, I was almost ready to follow him across the countryside. But then all of a sudden I felt like a fool. I froze up around it. For a moment I felt myself in sympathy with him, and then the next minute I was disgusted, and myself, as if I had been lured by marbles and hopscotch again.
I get the picture.
Maybe I shouldn't have said anything. I'm working it out in my mind. I didn't intend to talk about it. I started thinking out loud. The door to the hall made me think about Carl, the way he stood out there.
All right, we'll forget it. I'm just as glad.
Why?
He shrugged. It doesn't fascinate me to any unusual degree.
Have you forgotten your own youth?
I don't see that it has anything to do with my youth.
Easy, easy, forget it.
They were both silent for a time. Barbara rubbed her bare arms.
God, but it's miserable. Like a finished bathhouse.
By 6 o'clock, it'll all be gone.
Barbara looked at the clock. Almost 6 hours. We'll die. At least I will. I can't stand just sitting in the heat like this. I want to do something.
A shower would be fine. But actually, it's not unusually hot. It's always like this in the summer. But we've been busy before, working at our jobs. We never had time to notice the heat. We had something to do. When you get right down to it, we're really bothered by not having anything to do. The heat is only incidental.
Oh?
We're being paid to sit here and do nothing, so we feel all upset. First we stand up, then we sit down, we blame it on the heat, but it's really because we don't know what to do with ourselves.
I suppose so.
We're restless. Our work filled up most of our lives. Now that's gone, behind us. We don't know what to do without it. We're too strongly involved with it. It's too much a part of us, like old fire horses. We won't live long now that the company's dead.
Carl's doing all right, running around outside.
He's younger. There's a slim chance that he might live through this. You might, too. You're young. You might be able to adjust to this, the fall of our world, the old world. Want to go out and start exploring?
Too hot.
She wiped her neck. In the amber half-light of the room, he could see her twisting in an agony of discomfort. Suddenly, she leaped up.
Let's do something.
I already have made my suggestion.
What's that?
Take a shower.
There's nothing but a big pot of a tub here.
Then take a bath.
Oh, hell. Whoever took a bath at noon? Anyhow, that's not what I want. I feel restless, as if there's something I should be doing, something undone, some kind of work or something uncompleted. You're right, I suppose. It comes of having sat at a desk for years.
You must try to adjust. Realize that it's over. The old life is gone, dead.
I guess so.
This is a moment of importance, the moment of decision. We've shed an old life, for the moment.
We've just gotten out from a dying world. Now we stand at the brink, looking around us, like those crabs that aren't always in the same shell.
What kind of crab is that?
I don't know. I read about them once. They chase around getting into empty shells. After a while, they get tired of one shell and go on to the next.
That's us?
In a way. We've lost the old shell. It wore out. Now we have to find a new one. We have to live in some kind of shell. We can go in several directions.
What are the directions?
One is back.
Back?
To whatever we've always done, to what existed before, the was.
What's the other directions?
I don't know. I haven't worked it all out yet. You wait a while and I'll have the rest.
Barbara laughed. A hell of a place to stop.
She stood in the middle of the room, first on one foot, then the other.
I know.
But that's the trouble. We're at a time of decision, and we don't know what the decision represents, or what choices we have, or even where they lead. Our world is gone, our old world. We can turn and go with it, die with it. The crab can stay in his worn-out shell and perish. We've been fortunate, the three of us. We've been pushed out to the lip of the shell. We can stand and look around us. The others have already left, gone with the old. Soon we can follow them, or we can find something else.
And if we don't?
Well, if we don't, we simply die with the rest. Our being picked out this way, the three of us, gives us a chance to escape. We become free agents for a moment. The cosmic process hangs poised. We can start it spinning in any direction we want. Like the figure in the Greek play. He looks around him. What is he going to do?
He always does the wrong thing. That's why it's a tragedy.
He does the greater thing. That's why it's tragedy. What he does brings personal ruin on him, but it had to be done. Duty. He recognizes what's at stake and does what he should do. Just like a man plunging into a burning building. He does it because he feels he should, even if he is burned up. The tragic figure does what he must and is burned up. But burned or not, the thing must be done.
Why does the right choice always have to bring destruction on the person? It isn't fair.
Well, if it brought him fortune, it wouldn't be tragedy. It would be just sound business.
Barbara was silent. Anyhow, it makes an interesting topic for discussion.
She wandered over to the doorway and stared out into the hall. The hall was dark and silent. All the way along it, the doors were closed. Nothing moved. There was no sound, except for the musty, clinging smells. The hall was empty.
What do you see? Vern said from the bed.
Silence and immobility.
Is that good?
Yes.
Why? Why good?
She did not answer. She continued to stand at the door, leaning against the door jamb, her hands in her pockets. Vern gazed at her, square and supple under her slacks and her heavy cloth shirt, her golden arms.
You look pretty good, he said.
What?
You look all right.
She did not answer, but she shifted a little onto her other foot. Her body straightened out. Some of the supple lines melted and disappeared. She was standing rigid and stern because of what he said.
What's the matter?
She turned around.
Nothing's the matter.
You don't want me to tell you that you look nice?
No.
Why not?
Because I don't. Do you understand? I don't want any more of that. None. None at all.
Vern was surprised.
But
anything but that. Don't invent nice things to say. I don't want to hear them.
I'll be damned.
No doubt.
Her chin was up.
I have no doubt.
Get off it, Vern said slowly. I thought we made an agreement.
Barbara relaxed.
Sorry. I'm divided up into a whole lot of parts. I want this, then I do that.
Forget it.
It's the heat and boredom. I keep thinking I want to do things, but as soon as I start to imagine walking downstairs and outside into the sun,
why go outside? Let's do something here.
Like what?
Oh, goodness. What indeed?
For God's sake, Vern.
He grinned up at her. She smiled a little.
The bed'll fall apart. It's almost ready to collapse. That's one reason why I followed the straight and narrow.
Have you?
For a while.
She sat down next to him.
You know, Vern, it's so strange how some things are the same and some things are different.
How so?
You know what I mean. 4 years kills so much. But it doesn't kill everything. The real problem is trying to find out just exactly what it has killed and what is still alive. It's so hard to know. It's impossible to know, in advance at least, what goes on deep down in your mind.
I wish I knew what was still alive in me. I wish I could find out.
There's one thing that nothing kills, at least not until the whole body perishes.
4 years is a long time. But what the hell?
She turned toward him.
Look at how different I am. It must be fascinating to see. I've changed a lot, haven't I?
You've grown from a young girl into a fully developed woman, Vern stated.
Stop it. She colored. That's what I don't want to hear. I told you.
But it's the truth.
I don't care. That's one thing that is not the same. It's off.
Color rose into her cheeks.
Really?
Barbara got up quickly and walked around in a little circle. Of course. It's gone. It's a matter of complete indifference to me. There's no feeling left. I've no feeling about it. Maybe at one time it mattered, but not anymore.
I'm not sure exactly what you mean. I get just a sort of general picture.
That'll do.
She crossed to the door and looked up and down the hall.
I'm going to leave the door open. No one will be coming along.
Vern gazed up, wonderingly. What's the pitch? Barbara came back and stood grimly in front of him.
The bed really will collapse, you realize.
Oh?
Yes.
She rubbed her neck.
Yes, goddamn heat and boredom. Don't take any credit for yourself. It's enough to drive a person crazy, looking for something to do.
Is that the way you look at it?
Partly. I can't stand just sitting here in the room. I'll be goddamned if I'll go outside in the sun, so that doesn't leave much.
Well, I never heard of it coming this way. Not in all my life. I don't know what to think.
Better decide soon, Barbara said. What you said about the moment of decision is true, right now. Do you want to, or don't you?
She gazed past him, suddenly thoughtful. What is it?
Maybe we'll find out once and for all.
Vern got up from the bed. My God, but where? I don't want the bed folding up at the crucial moment with us inside it.
It's not that bad.
She smiled.
But we really can't use it. Look at it sagging.
They looked at it. Well, how about the floor? Vern said. We can put a sheet down or something. Either that or outside on the lawn. But it's too sunny there. Of course, if the bathtub is large enough.
Oh, stop it. It's not that funny.
I thought you said you didn't care anymore.
I don't. But it's not like drinking a glass of water.
Lennon said it was.
Well, it isn't. Anyhow, what will we do?
Don't change your mind while I'm working it out. Vern looked around the room. We can move the mattress onto the floor. That way it'll be soft, and there won't be any hazard. What do you say?
All right.
Barbara began carrying the clothes from the bed over to the dressers. She heaped them in stacks until the bed was clear. Vern took hold of one end of the mattress, and she took hold of the other. They laid the mattress and the bedding onto the floor. Vern straightened up. How's that? Almost as good as the bank of a stream.
It's good enough.
She wiped her neck.
This infernal goddamn heat. Will it never go away?
You'll forget it in a few minutes. That's the virtue of this. You can be stabbed and roasted and murdered during, and you don't notice until after. Barbara leaned against the wall and began to take her shoes and socks off.
Well, I hope you're going to do this, too. You must be at least that much of a gentleman.
Vern took off his shoes and socks slowly. Barbara unbuttoned her shirt and laid it on the dresser with the other clothes.
What's holding you up?
She said. A man can't go to trusting extremes. He may be called on to leap out of the window. I'll leave the rest of my stuff on.
Suit yourself. But if I'm going to do it, I want the pleasure of getting out of these sticky clothes.
She reached behind her, unhooking the bra. She put the bra with the shirt in a heap on the dresser. Vern contemplated her. Nice.
Come on. Let's hurry, for heaven's sake. I'm irritable enough to change my mind.
Really?
Of course. Only I can't think of anything else to do. That's the trouble with this sort of thing. The heat reduces you to animal level. Basic things.
Well, it's the original form of entertainment. Barbara finished undressing, gathering up all her things and putting them on the dresser.
It feels a lot better this way. Maybe we ought to run around like this all week long until the yucks come.
What would Carl think? Vern said, testing the mattress with his foot. He'd be struck blind.
He'll learn. Now,
ready? She examined the clock.
We have 5 hours before it starts to get cool. Can we string it out until evening?
There's a limit, even for Vern Tilden.
Barbara sat down on the bedding and gingerly made herself comfortable.
You know, down here it's cooler. I don't feel all prickly and gummy anymore.
She rested her head on her arm, watching Vern.
Is there a moral there?
There's a moral in everything. Vern gazed down at her. How about the door? You really want to leave it open?
Who would come along?
No one. But you have to give my conditionings a break. After all, I'm an old man and I've learned a way of doing things. He closed the door and then got down with her on the bedding.
Doesn't this seem to be your way?
How do you mean?
I don't know. You don't find this objectionable, do you?
She gasped.
Be careful, damn it.
Objectionable? Oh, no. He added. You know, you really have filled out in 4 years. Very nice.
Thanks. It should cost you extra, since you're getting such a good deal.
You have changed since last time.
Sure, Barbara said. But it's a cruel world.
Odd, Vern said. You'd think it would make you warmer, and instead it makes you feel sort of icy.
I suppose. Anyhow, I don't feel so fretful and agonized anymore.
What then?
Nothing at all. Just leave me alone for a while.
She closed her eyes.
When you close your eyes, it's as dark as night. Vern, I think you and I must be different from the others. We like it dark and cold. We have the shades down. We resent the sunlight. There's something symbolic in that.
And Carl goes rushing around outside. For a little while today, you thought maybe you wanted to run in the sun.
I would have gone 10 feet and fallen over dead. Just let me lie here with my eyes shut. Don't jar me. I'm all relaxed and at ease. They ought to recommend this to neurotic patients. It does wonders.
That's my theory. I've been following that advice for years.
I know, Barbara said.
Vern looked down into her face, so close to his, but he could not read her expression. Her eyes were shut. He bent over a little and touched his lips to her forehead. She frowned.
Cut that out. None of that.
Really? This is strange. You don't want me to kiss you, but you don't mind the rest.
I enjoy the rest. After all, it's been almost 6 months for me.
Almost that long for me, too. Most of these girls who work for the company are after your pelt to hang up on the wall.
A battle between you losing your pelt and the girl losing her greatest pride.
Once they get you under lock and key, they can quit their job. That's the psychology of a working woman. To them, it's a way of getting out of the grind. But take college girls, on the other hand. It's a completely different proposition. Marriage would only interfere with their fun.
Which is your attitude, and therefore you can strike up quite a business.
Vern agreed.
Where do I fit into the picture? I don't seem to fall into any of your categories.
That happens, Vern admitted. He was silent. After a moment, he went on. Well, are you ready to call it quits for today? We can carry on some other time.
Don't be too sure. Next time I might not feel the same. Better take advantage while you have it. What time is it? I can't see the clock.
Still 4 hours to go. We're doing as well as could be expected. Shall we go on?
For Christ's sake,
Barbara said angrily, stirring a little.
Come on.
I guess a bird in the hand is worth two in the bush.
Your other phrase is, the woods are full of them.
Vern nodded. Presently, he said, Well, I'm sorry, but even if there's a month to go, I'm finished. He waited for her to say something. She did not answer. She lay with her eyes shut, her chest rising and falling. Are you all right? There was no response. What is it? Vern said. Her face was strange, twisting oddly. The muscles around her mouth locked, hard and rigid. They began to work. For God's sake, what's the matter? What is it?
Vern.
Yes? What's wrong?
Vern, there's something wrong.
What is it?
I don't know.
She opened her eyes, wide and terrified, staring up at him.
Let me up.
He helped her to her feet. She stood shakily, pressing her fist against her cheek. What is it? Are you sick? She shook her head.
I don't know. Maybe it's something psychological.
She tried to smile.
I don't know.
Nothing physical?
No.
Her voice was a whisper. What did it feel like?
Vern, give me my clothes.
He handed her clothing to her from the top of the dresser. She dressed quickly, her hands shaking. When she had finished, she sat down on the bed springs and tied her shoes. She did not speak. Are you all right now? Vern asked.
Yes.
Her face was pale and set, like frozen marble. All the color had drained out of her. Her arms were gray. He could see her teeth chattering. All across her forehead and lip were tiny beads of icy perspiration.
For God's sake, Vern said, alarmed. Will you tell me what it is?
Do you remember what you said?
What I said? When? What do you mean?
About the moment, the choice.
Yes?
Vern, something happened. Didn't you feel it?
I don't know what you mean.
She was looking at him.
You didn't feel it?
I felt cold, but it seemed good to me because of the heat. Do you mean that?
I don't mean that.
She rubbed her forehead.
Something terrible happened. Something got in, like a dream, drifting in cold and made out of fog.
They were both silent.
It felt good at first, Vern said finally. It had been so hot. I guess I didn't get it as strongly.
It was waiting, like the thing in the dream. It was waiting there, all around us, waiting to get in.
Vern considered.
We didn't do anything wrong. People do it all the time. Even the best people get to Earth that way.
But something got in. Something that was waiting, cold and dead. It got inside me.
What was it?
I don't know.
Barbara brushed at her eyes, wiping them.
I didn't know there was anything. It came near after we began. It was there all the time.
She looked up at him tearfully.
It's always been there, waiting to...
For God's sake, that's foolish. This is only a guilt complex setting up, a personification of some mental guilt.
But you felt it too.
No.
But he had felt it. He licked his lips. Barbara watched him.
You did. I can tell. Not as strong, but you did, in spite of what you say.
All right, Vern said impatiently.
Vern?
What?
It was like a sentence, a curse, as if we're doomed.
Vern grunted. After a long time, Barbara went on in a tight voice.
Maybe we better put the bedding back.
They lifted the bedding and put it down on the springs. Vern pushed it into place with his hands. The bed looked as it had before.
That's that, Vern said.
They sat down on the bed. Barbara was still pale and shaken. She shivered.
I'm cold. I'm cold all over. Cold and clammy, like a leper. Like worms and wet tombstones. The grave, cold, damp stone.
She took his hand and put it against her face. He started, pulling back. Her skin was moist and frigid. He swallowed, rubbing his hands together.
A reaction. A psychological reaction.
I feel so awful.
I know.
They looked down at the floor. Neither of them spoke. At last Barbara turned and raised the shade. A flash of yellow sunlight poured into the room, blinding them. They blinked.
That's better, Vern said.
Vern, we never should have done it. That's what it was. We brought it on ourselves. We let it in by what we did. It was our own fault. We called it down.
Why? People do it.
This was different.
How?
We took up where we left off 4 years ago. It was wrong. You can't go back, and we did go back. Only it was worse than going back. Even worse than that.
Why?
It was all the bad part and none of the good. It was as bad as it could be. It was the slopping part, the blood and the seeping over. Mechanical, and none of the feeling. There was nothing to make it into something. When I asked you to do it, I thought I was being... I don't know. I don't know what I thought. I wanted to find out something. It was my fault.
She looked up defensively.
But it was your fault, too.
Nuts. There was nothing wrong with it.
Wasn't there?
It's a perfectly natural act.
Vern, we've gone on with what we started 4 years ago. We've taken it up again. Only it was all the bad parts we brought back, none of the good.
You said that. He got up and walked around the room.
Perhaps. I did feel something coming on to me, like a hand catching, settling over me. She watched him silently. Suddenly he stopped.
Well, actually, there's no real problem. If our psychological apparatuses won't allow us to be together, then we'll have to separate. The human mind is very complex. The unconscious sense of guilt...
Separate? How?
We won't.
We already have. And you told me once the time has passed. The moment of choice.
For Christ's sake, this is silly.
Vern, does it mean we're going to have to keep living this way all the rest of our lives, around and around? Can't we break away? Will it always be like this, like it is now?
We can separate any time we want.
We separated 4 years ago. We were apart 4 years. It's too late.
We've already done it. We've made our choice. It's happened to us already. Well, then, if we're in the soup, we're in the soup.
Vern smiled wryly.
And what's so bad about it? There could be a lot worse ways to live.
Barbara twisted.
I'm so dirty, so contaminated. I want to be clean.
She got up and crossed the room to the door.
Where are you going?
I've got to get clean. I've got to try to wash it away.
That's not very flattering, Vern murmured. Didn't have to hit you over the head, you remember.
It's my fault, then. It's all my fault. She shuddered. God, I've become so dirty and cold, I can't stand it.
Like I said, Vern murmured, we can stop any time. We can make this the last. Now we know. It's a bad idea, but it's settled. It won't happen again.
It's not as easy as that. How can we stop? What can we do?
Quit seeing each other?
All right.
She sagged.
All right.
I guess it'll be hard to do, at least during the next week. But after that...
We didn't see each other for 4 years, and here we are.
Well, something will break it. There's always a way out. He grinned, trying to be cheerful. I'm not joking. It's true, don't you remember? The curse always is lifted when the right thing is found. Barbara smoothed her slacks aimlessly. Think of all the old stories, Vern said. The old legends. Remember the Ring of the Nibelungen? The gods were cursed by having the gold. They grew old. Barbara nodded. They got rid of the curse.
How?
Vern pondered. He picked his shoes up from the floor and began to put them on. Siegfried saved them, or almost saved them. At least he was supposed to.
Siegfried?
The guileless fool? The virgin, completely uncorrupted? The innocent fool?
Very interesting,
Barbara said. She smiled tightly, rocking back and forth, her arms folded. Some color was beginning to come back into her arms and face.
That's not really too promising, though, is it?
Why not?
Well, we have no Siegfried to save us, to make us clean again.
They were both silent. There was a sound from the hall outside. They glanced at each other. What was that? Vern said. Barbara raised her hand.
Listen.
They listened. Someone was coming uncertainly down the hall, cautious and timid. He came closer and closer until he reached the door. He stopped outside, and they heard a faint breathing sound. Vern and Barbara moved together, listening. For a time, there was no sound at all. Then, at last, a faint voice came, distant and polite.
Barbara? Vern? Are you in there?
For God's sake, Barbara exclaimed. It's only Carl.
She gasped in relief.
Lord.
Vern opened the door.
You scared the hell out of us.
Carl looked around hesitantly.
Can I come in?
He came slowly into the room, smiling at them.
I didn't mean to startle you.
It's all right,
Barbara murmured.
I got worn out looking around. It's hot, all right, but I found some very interesting things. Very interesting. I thought you two might like to come with me. It's no fun exploring around alone.
Vern was watching Carl intently, rubbing his jaw. After a time, he brought out his pipe and began to fill it slowly, still watching the boy.
What do you say?
Carl said, looking around at them hopefully.
If you say it sounds silly, I'll agree with you, but...
No, it's not silly. It's something different to do.
Vern and Barbara looked at each other.
The manager's house is full of things,
Carl said excitedly, unable to contain himself now that he had got some response.
Nothing has been taken out. I didn't get inside, but I know. I saw through some boards nailed over one of the windows. Everything's there, all of it. They must be going to have their officers stay there.
Maybe we should go along, Vern said. It might be interesting.
Come on,
Carl cried.
I'll lead the way.